welcome to History Obscura, the podcast where creepy, strange gems from history are dug up and put on display just for you. Today, the cats and I have gathered up some pieces for you about Edgar Allan Poe. Poe, of course, was the 19th century American writer who brought us mysterious and creepy stories such as The Raven and The Telltale Heart. Poe is a beloved writer whose works frequent the bookshelves of your classic goth kids, young and old. Poe's works were, and are, iconic in the horror genre, as he employed some unique methods that, along with his subject matter, made his work something most notable and popular. Poe was born in 1809 in Baltimore, and his tumultuous life was fated only to last 40 years. And, as it turned out, Edgar Allan Poe's death was as dark and mysterious as his works of fiction. Once upon a time, it was a rainy day in Baltimore. It was October 3rd, 1849. It was election day, and a man was heading over to Gunner's Hall, which was a public house that was to be a polling station for the day. When he arrived at the hall, this man found a semi-conscious person lying in the gutter. Noticing that the unfortunate person was unable to move and that his clothing was quite shabby, it took the man a moment to realize that this sick person was Edgar Allan Poe. Most curiously, Poe did not actually live in Baltimore at that time. He'd arrived in the city from Richmond and was supposedly on his way to Philadelphia, where he had some editing work waiting for him. The man who found him got Poe settled at the hospital and sent word off seeking immediate help from one of the author's acquaintances. Unfortunately, the author would never regain a high enough degree of consciousness to explain how he'd come to be in the gutter all alone. He was delirious and hallucinating, and the doctor caring for him reported that the patient called out for someone named Reynolds many times, but no one knew who that was. Ultimately, Poe succumbed to his injuries, in a few days dying on October 7th. He was buried 2 days later, and the death certificate lists phrenitis as cause of death, phrenitis being a swelling of the brain. There were, and still are, several ideas about what actually happened to the famous poet. Because he was found outside a polling station at election time, many believe he'd fallen victim to something that was called cooping. Gangs with political alliances would basically kidnap an unfortunate soul and force him to repeatedly change identities and vote several times over for their chosen candidate. It was also common for alcohol to be given after a vote, and because Poe had a well-known problem handling even a small amount of drink, he could most certainly have suffered if he'd been in to vote several times and accepted the drinks on offer. Edgar Allan Poe was actually a supporter of the temperance movement, likely due to his own struggles with alcohol. As a result, some people who've speculated on his death have focused directly on the alcohol. They think perhaps his time in Richmond, previous to arriving in Baltimore, had been full of heavy drink already. In a book published in 1886 called Edgar Allan Poe, His Life, Letters, and Opinions, the author John H. Ingram enlists the writings of Susan Archer Weiss to help explain the mystery. Here's a quote from Ingram's book, which in turn uses quotes from Poe's friend Weiss. Twice during his stay in Richmond, the poet is said to have succumbed to the temptation which embittered the lonesome latter years of his life. Upon each occasion, it is declared that he was tenderly watched over and waited upon, especially upon the second occasion when, says Mrs. Weiss, during some days his life was in imminent danger. assiduous attention saved him, but it was the opinion of physicians that another such attack would prove fatal. This they told him, warning him seriously of the danger. Dr. Carter relates how, on this occasion, he had a long conversation with Poe in which he expressed the most earnest desire to wreak from the thraldom of his besetting sin and told of his many unavailing struggles to do so. He was moved even to tears and finally declared in the most solemn manner that this time he would restrain himself, would withstand any temptation. He kept his word as long as he remained in Richmond. So, while the theories that Poe's problems with drink and possibly a fraudulent voting scheme may have led to the sad state in which he was found that sad October day, there are actually even more mysteries wrapped up in this tale of the horror writer's circumstances. Firstly, Poe, by all accounts, was missing for 5 days between the time he left Richmond and when he was found in Baltimore. Also, after his death, Poe's hair was tested for poison, which was a common practice at the time concerning suspicious deaths. The hair contained lead, which experts at the time believed somehow proved Poe was sober at the time of his death. I'm not sure how to explain that myself, and if you are, please let me know. There was also mercury in the hair sample, which can certainly cause the kind of delirium and hallucinations that Poe had been experiencing at the hospital. As it turns out, however, he'd been given mercury chloride back in the summer of that year as a preventative measure against cholera. Those who knew Edgar Allan Poe personally were disturbed and confused at their friend's scruffy attire when he was found. What in the world could have happened that he was not only left dying in a gutter, but in someone else's clothes? Other theories and hypotheses about Poe's death have played with the ideas of a murder plot, a brain tumor, and even rabies. Poe's strange tale just kept getting more strange. Here's the man's obituary as it appeared in the evening edition of the New York Tribune on October 9th, 1849. Edgar Allan Poe is dead. He died in Baltimore the day before yesterday. This announcement will startle many, but few will be grieved by it. The poet was well known personally, or by reputation, in all this country. He had readers in England and in several states of continental Europe, but he had few or no friends. The regrets for his death will be suggested principally by the consideration that in him, literary art lost one of its most brilliant, but erratic stars. The true character of Mr. Poe we cannot attempt to describe in this very hastily written article. We can but allude to some of the more striking phases. His conversation was at times almost supramortal in its eloquence. His voice was modulated with astonishing skill, and his large and variably expressive eyes looked repose or shot fiery tumult into theirs who listened, while his own face glowed or was changeless in pallor, as his imagination quickened his blood or drew it back frozen to his heart. His imagery was from the worlds which no mortal can see but with the vision of genius. He was at times a dreamer, dwelling in ideal realms, in heaven or hell, peopled with creations and the accidents of his brain. He walked the streets, in madness or melancholy, with lips moving in indistinct curses, or with eyes upturned in passionate prayers for the happiness of those who at that moment were objects of his idolatry, but never for himself, for he felt, or professed to feel, that he was already damned. He seemed, except when some fitful pursuit subjected his will and engrossed his faculties, always to bear the memory of some controlling sorrow. He had made up his mind upon the numberless complexities of the social world, and the whole system was with him an imposture. This conviction gave a direction to his shrewd and naturally unamiable character. Still, though, he regarded society as composed of villains. The sharpness of his intellect was not of that kind which enabled him to cope with villainy, while it continually caused him overshots to fail of the success of honesty. Passion, in him, comprehended many of the worst emotions, which mitigate against human happiness. You could not contradict him, but you raised quick choler. You could not speak of wealth, but his cheek paled with gnawing envy. The astonishing natural advantage of this poor boy, his beauty, his readiness, the daring spirit that breathed around him like a fiery atmosphere, had raised his constitutional self-confidence into an arrogance that turned his very claims to admiration into prejudice against him. Irascible, envious, bad enough, but not the worst, for these salient angles were all varnished over with a cold, repellent cynicism, while his passions vented themselves in sneers. This seemed to him no moral susceptibility. And what was more remarkable in a proud nature, little or nothing of the true point of honor. He had, to a morbid excess, that desire to rise which is vulgarly called ambition, but no wish for the esteem or the love of his species, only the hard wish to succeed. Not shine, not serve, but succeed. That he might have the right to despise a world which galled his self-conceit. We must omit any particular criticism of Mr. Poe's works. As a writer of tales, it will be admitted, generally, that he was scarcely surpassed in ingenuity of construction or effective painting. As a critic, he was more remarkable as a dissector of sentences than as a commentator upon ideas. He was little better than a carping grammarian. As a poet, he will retain a most honorable rank. Of his Raven, Mr. Willis observes that in his opinion, it is the most effective single example of fugitive poetry ever published in this country, and is unsurpassed in English poetry for subtle conceptions, masterly ingenuity of versification, and consistent sustaining of imaginative lift. In poetry, as in prose, he was most successful in the metaphysical treatment of the passions. His poems are constructed with wonderful ingenuity and finished with consummate art. They illustrate a morbid sensitiveness of feeling, a shadowy and gloomy imagination, and a taste almost faultless in the apprehension of that sort of beauty most agreeable to his temper. We have not learned of the circumstance of his death. It was sudden, and from the fact that it occurred in Baltimore, it is presumed that he was on his return to New York. After life's fitful fever, he sleeps. Ludwig. This obituary was signed Ludwig, but it was later revealed to have been Rufus Wilmot Griswold. Poe and Griswold were never friends, but had an odd, slightly combative relationship. And many speculated that Griswold's words were rather more meant as one last indignity to Poe rather than a kindness. So, let's move forward a little in time. Poe has died and been laid to rest with a funeral service that lasted all of 3 minutes and had only 10 people in attendance. The newspaper has printed this unusual obituary despite not really knowing who wrote it. The strangeness doesn't end there. The grave marker that was meant for Poe's burial spot was somehow destroyed when a derailed train plowed into the stonecutter's workyard. So, sans headstone or any kind of marking, Poe's grave stayed put for 26 years before the poet was abruptly dug up in 1875. It was the conviction of the cemetery administrators that the man should be given a more prominent location in the graveyard. This reshuffle afforded the experts of the day the chance to ogle and prod Poe's badly decayed body for any new clues to his mysterious death. A shriveled mass was found in his skull, which led to theories of a tumor, Or maybe just a weirdly preserved brain. In 2009, Poe was once more stirred from his eternal rest, this time for a second funeral. Organizers, however, decided that they needn't dig up the deceased bones, as a likeness of Poe was made and put into a casket for viewing. Tickets were sold, and actors dressed up like other dead writers who were considered to be Poe's writing contemporaries. And so the fake Alfred Hitchcock and the fake Walt Whitman now paid their respects to the man, complete with eulogies, 200 years after his actual death. The likeness was then driven to the new gravesite in a horse-drawn carriage as it, evidently, should have been back in 1849. It has been several years since that second funeral, and as yet the much disturbed Gothic writer has been left there to finally rest in peace for a while. Edgar Allan Poe's last poem was published after his death, and it mentions the death of a woman he loved. Most likely his wife, Virginia Eliza Clem Poe, who died 2 years ahead of her husband. It's called Annabel Lee. It was many and many a year ago, in a kingdom by the sea, that a maiden there lived whom you may know, by the name of Annabel Lee. And this maiden, she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by me. I was a child, and she was a child, in this kingdom by the sea. But we loved with a love that was more than love, I and my Annabel Lee, with a love that the winged seraphs of heaven coveted her and me. And this was the reason that, long ago, in this kingdom by the sea, a wind blew out a cloud, chilling my beautiful Annabel Lee, so that her high-born kinsmen came and bore her away from me to shut her up in a sepulcher in this kingdom by the sea. The angels, not half so happy in heaven, went envying her and me. Yes, that was the reason, as all men know, in this kingdom by the sea, that the wind came out of the cloud by night, chilling and killing my Annabel Lee. But our love, it was stronger by far than the love of those who were older than me, of many far wiser than we. And neither the angels in heaven above, nor the demons down under the sea, can ever dissever my soul from the soul of this beautiful Annabel Lee. For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabel Lee. And the stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabel Lee. And so, all the night tide, I lie down by the side of my darling. My darling, my life and my bride, in her sepulcher there by the sea, in her tomb by the sounding sea. Thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe, and if you like this episode, give it a like and maybe give us a lovely review. And subscribe on Anchor, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen. You can also find these episodes on YouTube. If you'd like to support the show, please do stop on by the Patreon account. That's www.patreon.com/historyobscura. As you will see, there is a flock of street cats. Or is it a coven of alley cats? Who could use donations for medicine, food, and storm shelter. See you next week. Good night.